That's not going to work.
There you go. Okay, first of all, we want to welcome everybody and greetings to all of you. The schedule for the evening before we get started, before we have Mike come up and talk to us, obviously we're going to have Mike talk. He's going to talk for about an hour. The topic he's going to talk about is conversion, fellowship, and then church history. And he said, feel free to interrupt him at any time for any questions, just by simply raising your hand, and he would be willing to take questions. As most of you know, he is a minister from Mansfield, and he has been asked a few times, and he said that he wanted to come one of the times, but it just never worked out, so we're glad that he's with us. After Mike is done speaking, we're going to ask a brother to have a short prayer for the snack, and then we are going to take a group picture. And then after the group picture, we would give you a short break to go to the bathroom or whatever, and then we would have snack. And when you get up for the picture, if you could put your books across the over by the wall so we can get them, because we will be having a, after the snack, we will be singing again. And then at 10 o'clock, there is a farewell line for any of those that want to leave. And then after that, we will be singing out of the Zion's Harp after that. So, Mike, I guess I will let you come up and talk. And like I said, if there's any questions during it, don't be afraid to just raise your hand. And he would be more than willing to answer your questions.
Thank you, Brother Ben, for the introduction. To the brother that's recording back there, am I standing about in the right place? Thank you. I feel before I go on with the evening's topic, I think I ought to give you a little bit of a background of myself. Because I was told that quite a few of you don't know much about me or don't know me at all. And there'd be several references made to, if you don't know what it is and what I'm talking about, you're probably going to get a little confused, okay? So before we do that, thank you. As Brother Ben said, if you want to interrupt me even, if you can, save your questions for last, but it's not necessary. You can just raise your hand and I'll try to answer your question if I can. There's no Mansfielders here anymore, is there? They probably were here all day, but not anymore. I get some of the things that I'm going to bring out to you tonight is be making references to the lesson that we've had in Mansfield lately. It's church history. So forbear with me if you're here from Mansfield, you've heard it. The topic, as Brother Ben said, is really our precious faith that we have. With it goes a precious fellowship. And with a fellowship, you know, young brothers and sisters, and those of you that are in repentance, we are bombarded every day by so many different denominations and so many different churches that I hope you're not confused by it, that you will always turn to the Bible. Now, if you have a question on what I'm about to say, don't be afraid to raise your hand, and if I need correction, correct me also. First of all, the Apostle Paul spent his lifetime trying to create one church. The church is something that is found in the New Testament. Yes, there's a reference or two made towards the Old Testament, in the Old Testament. But the church is a new creation. It came into being after the death of Christ, after the day of Pentecost. The Spirit Himself is the life-infusing agent that God used. The Holy Spirit is the life-infusing agent to bring the church into its being. And I'm wondering often when I read and hear if the Apostle Paul would come back today, how many churches would he find in your surrounding area? How many different denominations? Just one? You think his preaching and his teaching was so successful that it's only one? Far from it. Years ago, when I taught Sunday school, I've read once that there were in Richland County over 85 churches in 65 denominations. I believe he would be really disappointed. What did he write to the early churches? He wrote to the early church, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father in you all and through you all. Anybody have any trouble understanding and dealing with the number one? How did we get what we have today? Don't be taken in. You know, and I hear that sometimes even from members in our church. Yeah, he is a fairly good Christian. He sort of has a shallow Christian experience. He's not what we are. I would like to ask anybody that says that, what scripture passage are you referring to? How did you get two out of 111 seven times? Which is the faith then? And do you belong to that faith that is going to be pleasing to God and is going to heaven? All you have to do is search the Bible. The Bible has the answer which one it is. Are you saying you find a chapter and a verse where it says Apostolic Christian Church? That's not what I'm referring to. In heaven, there'd be only one church. There should be only one on earth here. Which is the church? It's in the Bible. The Bible says in Jude, the fourth verse, contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That's, period. That's it. That's the church that you and I strive to be part of. Now, did I say we're the only ones going to heaven? The third one from over here, I don't know your name. Did I say that? Okay, thank you. I just want to keep checking. And I was given the permission to ask questions back and forth. So just to make sure, if I see you getting sleepy, and I know nobody's sleepy yet, I don't want to put you to sleep, okay? But I want to make sure that I'm not getting off on an angle and leave you behind, okay? Now, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be entertaining. I'm not an entertainer. And you know what I know that by? I don't make enough money to be an entertainer. They get a lot more money than I do. And I'm not asking for a collection tonight. Not at all. But sometimes I do say something that will cause you to laugh. Now, about our church, the history of our church, you're all familiar with it. It started with Samuel Frelick in 1832, 33, somewhere in there. And he repented and converted. This is the Apostolic Christian Church. As we studied in Mansfield, we came to it, and I've went through this three, four times already in other church groups, in other age groups and everything. When it was requested from the young group in Mansfield, from the Bible class, that we study that, the other three brothers says, "Wow, Mike, you're going to have to do that all by yourself. I don't know what to talk about. I looked at this book, but I need not tell you." I just comforted them and said, "You'll be all right." You know, they are really enjoying it, all three of the other teachers. You know, having been through it two or three times, I need to lay my, I can't see that clock back there, my watch in front of me. Know what is coming. And you know, Samuel Freilich studied to be a minister in the Lutheran Church. I'm not going to go into that, but then they decided, the class with the teachers, that I would not take my turn in the book, but that I would fill in what is not in the book. Background, historical background from Europe. And I gladly went along with that. And as we got to Samuel Freilich, when he finally came to the point that he seen what he was doing was not scriptural, he came to the point where he knew he had to repent and convert, and he did it all on his own. And it started in April, and it ended in October. And I said to the class, now, having gone through this before, watch it unfold. It is scriptural, young people, to convert. We'll get to that a little later. Come back to it. A fellowship. Is it possible to be part of a fellowship and not be converted? Not going to ask you for a question. I'm going to answer that question. Not going to ask you to answer me that. It's not possible. Fellowship is close together, closeness. You've heard it say we need to fellowship with each other. We need more fellowship. If you're not converted, you will not be part of the fellowship very long, and you will cause problems in the fellowship. And I cannot think of anything more important than to convert. Jesus Christ commanded it and said, unless we become converted and as little children, there's no entrance into the kingdom of God. Peter, as soon as the Holy Spirit was poured out, the first Spirit-inspired sermon that was preached by this new church, by these converted people, the people that listened to that sermon said, as the guilt was laid to their heart's door of crucifying Jesus Christ at the day of Pentecost, they asked the question then, men and brethren, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be converted. How many people do you know that converted become part of the Apostolic Christian Church Fellowship and left the fellowship of like precious faith and survived spiritually? You know, I have told you, and this is where I need to make references to, that there was parts of that I didn't want recorded. I know elders from around the world, most of them went to their reward already because I was younger and they were older, but I still do. I know of no soul that left the fellowship of the Apostolic Christian Church and maintained what they had let alone improve of what they had. Young people, brothers and sisters and repenting souls, how do you get all these people together? In the New Testament, and I've wrote some of them down, there were Jews, Gentiles, barbarians, bond, free, male, female. Today we could add people that drink, smoke, use drugs, use the name of the Lord in vain. And what about, let me bring one more in, temper. I mean really a temper. Somebody touches you and you fly off the handle, the sparks fly. Where can all these people, you know, in the beginning, when the Apostle Paul started the church, the Jews taking in the Gentiles, sitting next to him? Oh, no. No, you can't do that. What would a church be like if Paul would have said, well, let's make one exception. Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Now, what would happen if the free, the landowner, the slave owner, converted, and through his conduct, his slave also converts? Would the slave sit next to the master? Oh, they certainly would sit back here, and the Jew here, and the Gentile there, and you certainly would not give the slave the opportunity for God to choose him to be an elder, would you? Certainly not. But the apostle said, there is no bond, there is no free. In Jesus Christ, we're all one. There is room for all of that in but one place. And it's not crowded there. Not crowded at all. There is room for that. For every one of these people that I mentioned, there's only one place that they can be used. And that's at the cross. Nothing beyond the cross. Only converted people on the other side of the cross. Brothers, there was a wedding here today. It's going to be one in 2 weeks. Would you like to be married to a sister that has a temper, that as soon as you say something the wrong way, the house would be on fire? Sisters, you certainly could use a brother, couldn't you? Wouldn't you like to be married to a brother? His fuse is only about this long. No, you don't. You're going to live too close together to have a temper. Where could you use the temper? Got room for him in Redmond? In the church? Smithville? No, can't be used anywhere. Only at the cross. And that's what conversion is all about. Before you can come part of the fellowship, we need to convert. And now, let me give you a little church history. The beginning of the Apostolic Christian Church here, we all know, started in Krogan-Naumburg in the state of New York. An unnamed man who was a member in Europe, let me just refresh some of you that don't know it, was put under discipline, either punished or out of the church. We don't know. But he was in trouble in the church. And I don't know what he was doing. Did he go out of necessity, or was he running from his discipline? Whatever it was, he wound up in the New World in America. And there were no members of the Apostolic Christian Church over here. Well, he must have got homesick after the fellowship. And he went and he gathered with Mennonites. He heard the word preached in his own language, in German. The fellowship didn't quite work like he knew it. They had nothing but problems. They didn't get along with each other. This man that was under discipline says, "You know something? I know a man back in Europe. He just got started. That's where I was part of the fellowship. That can solve your problems. I'll give you the address and his name, and you write and you ask Samuel Freilich to come over here. He'll take care of your problems." I think all of you, including myself, we don't like to be in arguments. We'd like to have a peaceful assembly, don't we? We'd like to have a peaceful fellowship. These Mennonites were the same. They send off a letter. It wasn't airmail either. It took quite a while to get over there. And you know the story then, what the brothers did. They didn't say, "No, we're not going to send you somebody." But Samuel Freilich was not in the physical condition to take a strenuous trip like this, which probably took 6 months. He could not do it. Impossible. But they prayed about it, and they ordained an elder. A single brother, 29 years old, and they send him to America. And I remember when I read that for the first time, I said, I would have liked to have been there when they instructed him how to settle the problems in America. It wasn't even an apostolic Christian church. I'd like to hear what Samuel Freilich had to say, what some of the other brothers that were there, the first elders, what instructions did they give to Benedict Wyonnet? I could use them. I'll tell you, I've come to a different conclusion now. I don't think they gave him any instructions, but stay with the Bible. Samuel Freilich listened to them for a little while. Anybody know how he settled their problems? Anybody know? He settled them. When they say, "Benedict, we'll send you back, we'll pay the ticket, back to Europe, and you go to law school there, we'll come back and we'll have a good lawyer here and you'll settle our problems." Now he says, "I'll tell you what you need. You need to give me the pulpit." "Oh no, you're not going to get that." "Yes, I can't help you." Well, since he's over here and he told them he had the answer to their problem, they finally consented, a few of them and a few more, and it caused some real problems in that assembly with the Mennonites. But they finally decided to give him the pulpit without any interference. What do you think he did? He just opened the Bible, word opened, and he started preaching. He preached to them repentance and conversion. They were not converted people. And he found that out the first 5 and 10 minutes he was over there. He listened to them for a little while. They were not converted people. Do you know who the first person was that was baptized in this country? Peter Verkler, the Mennonite bishop from that fellowship there. And for those of you that know the Verklers, they're still with us. They're just about a little bit everywhere. But I asked one of them, because he married a sister from Mansfield, And I ask his dad, are you tracing your family back to Peter Verkley? He says, yeah. I says, what do you have? How can you show that to me? He went and got a book and showed it to me. And I remember saying to his son, who married Sister Tekka Kiever, I says, Scott and Tekka, if I was you, if the Lord ever blesses you with a son, I'd name him Peter. That's how much I think of that. Think of that. But they have a son. His name's James. Okay? Just seen him not too long ago for the first time. Invited him over to the house and got to see James. He started to preach conversion. And Peter Verkler converted. The next one and the next one, they got into a fellowship, a close fellowship. They don't need a lawyer anymore. They were new creatures. They were converted. Make no mistake about it. I want to bring it out over and over. It is a commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to convert. If we're not going to get along with each other in one fellowship here, there is no conversion on the other side in heaven. We need to get along with each other here. It's of utmost importance that the old man be crucified and a new one arises, and that new person is converted. Now I have given you some of the benefits that conversion brings. I want to give you a few more. I'm going to refer to my own life, and forgive me for doing that. It's not out of pride or pointing a finger at me, but I have experienced it. So let me share it with you, and also the effects of conversion, what it will do for you personally in your life, your fellowship. You know, I remember one time a man walking in to the Mansfield Church, looking left and right, and after he was in for a little while, I don't know to this day what his name is. He said to me, I'm new in this place here. Well, I says, yeah, I can see that, and I hadn't given him my name already, and welcomed him. He says, I'm wondering about something. I says, what are you wondering about? See if I can answer your question. He says, this is absolutely the smoothest running church organization that I have ever seen. But I don't see who's in charge of it. Who is giving the orders? Everything is moving smoothly. And usually you'll see the man right up front there that's in charge, and you'll see someone that is here. That's where the orders are coming from. While I says, we just don't have that. But I'll come with me, and I'll introduce you to the man. In fact, you passed him already a couple times. I'll introduce you to the man that's in charge of it. And I took him to the elder brother, and I said, this is Brother Ken Sauter. He's the elder here. Oh. He's in charge of it. That's marvelous. That's wonderful. He was speechless. You know, if we're converted, we know what to do, and our elder's job should be an easy job. Shouldn't it? If we're converted. And if not, it's not going to be that easy. Benedict Wynette went back to Switzerland, got married, and came back over. By now, the early church leaders were Isaac Gehring and Joseph Bela down the Sardis area. A converted person has a real longing for lost souls, don't they? Sure do. We all do. I need not talk very long on it. Let me just give you, do you know the first member in this area, in Richmond here, what her name was? Anybody know? Had your last name?
Anna Steiner.
Anna Steiner. There's a historian there. Anna Steiner. They heard in Sardis or Monroe County that there might be some souls up here that would be interested in conversion. Well, they came up here, they didn't find anybody, but the Lord led them to a person that was interested in it. You know who she was? She was the wife of a Mennonite bishop. And really, that's not why Isaac Gary came up here for different souls, but that's what the Lord led him to. And you imagine that? That's 140 miles, am I right? From here to Sardis, walking. That's at least a six-day walk every day, and you better be good at it. To come up here, and then a Mennonite bishop's wife wants to convert. Well, young people, the rest of it is history, isn't it? What is the church today here in this area? Think it's important to preach conversion? It's important to require all of this. Is sometimes so mean of some members, isn't it, to ask me to convert for little things? They don't amount to anything. Why don't you just let me in? You know, I remember talking to a seeking soul once, and he says, Mike, I don't have apostolic Christian background. You don't understand me. But could I come in just with one thing, a wedding band, into the church? Couldn't you just make one exception? If you explained that to the church, I know they would understand. What would you tell that person? Let me look over here. Mike, what would you tell? What answer would you give? And I was asked for an answer right away. I had to do it on the spot.
Well, you wouldn't want that, because then if you're not him, then maybe Jared wants it.
Oh, he exactly what I said. There's a converted person. You and I didn't get an argument in that, did we? Okay. Can you see that there's two of us that are converted? That could turn into something. You know, I said to that man, the church that he wanted to be part of, that I was part of, was around 400 members. I says, now you already told me that the church you come from don't get along with each other, and you don't want this church to do the same. That's why you become part of this church. I said, if all 400 of us would have had one item to bring in here, we would have 400 different things. I think we would look worse than the church you're coming from. That was the end of our conversation. And I didn't ask him to raise a white flag, and I put my victory flag up. I said, you know, understand me. He says, I understand. And the nice part of it, he says, as soon as I get home, the ring will come off. This also sometimes comes home to the one that preaches it, to me. I was going to a church, and that's the part that I wanted you to know that I'm going to make references to. As a young brother, there was difficulty in the church. And quite a few elders got together, and they were going to settle these issues. And there was one brother in there that was specifically just hard to get along with, is the easiest word that I can describe him. And I'm not going to describe him any further. Guess who got assigned for supper to that brother? I did. Because I had a lot to learn, because I was young, and they wanted me. And I says, brother, you know, just the older brother, let's just go there in faith. The Lord will work it out. And the one brother says, Mike, you're going to learn a lot tonight. It's all ready for it. And don't think that I wasn't nervous. I was. We had the supper, and the air was so thick you could cut it. On the way out, he was locking the door, and I came out. And he looked me over. My wife usually does that. But he looked me over and he says, you're not dressed. You're not ready to go to church. I was pretty sure I was. I says, now, would you tell me? And it's already starting before you get to church. Would you tell me what I need to do? He says, you forgot to put your belt on. And there was a time when you bought trousers, suits, that you didn't put a belt on. It had no loops. Just two buttons. And I was in no danger of gaining weight, but losing weight. And I said to the man that was fitting my trousers, I says, you know, how would that look if I put loops on there? Oh, he says, now would be the time to do it while you have the material. Let's put them on, but you don't have to wear a belt. So fine, I says, that's good, just in case. I'll put the belt on then when I need it. So that's how I went to church. And he says, you know, you're not finished dressing, put that belt on. Let me ask you a question. If I have loops on my trousers and a belt on or not, am I going to go to heaven or do I stay out of heaven? Pardon me?
Irrelevant.
That's what I always thought, Brother Bud. And the old elders that were there, that's what they said to all the other things that brother had to say. The Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful to me. Do they all edify? The Apostle Paul also found that some people kept one day for a holiday, the other one another one. One eat meat if it was offered to an idol, the other one wasn't. And he tells the Corinthians and the Romans in Rome that eating meat or not eating meat is irrelevant. But if it causes my brother to stumble, what about that? Do I go to heaven if I cause one brother after another one to stumble and to be lost? How's that going to work? Become a little different situation now, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And now it's different, isn't it? Do you see the importance of conversion? You see the importance of there is no place, use for a temper. In that same chapter, in Romans, the 12th chapter, it says that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Of God. In the same chapter where it says about eating meat and not eating meat. So I can cause my brother to stumble and to be lost. Me, myself, and I, the three of us, can cause my brother to stumble and to be lost. Forget about the situation. You know what I did when that brother told me I wasn't dressed? I simply went inside and pulled the belt out of my traveling trousers and put it on. It was an old one. It wasn't a new belt that I usually wear in my suit. It showed quite a bit of wear and everything. They all waited for me. I hurried up, came out. And guess what happened to that brother? He just melted. He just thought, no. This brother. He's really the man we've been looking for. And you know, by the time we got to church, he was just about out of the picture. The elders couldn't figure out what happened. The evening went wonderful. He never spoke up once anymore. Nothing. The whole evening, everything just fell right in place. The elders couldn't figure out what happened. Was it worth it? Was it worth it for me to put a belt on? Sure it was, wasn't it? What did I lose? I really didn't lose anything. My pride that I had, I left it at the cross 20 years before. Let me tell you what else happened, though. That brother thought the world of me. Before it was all over with, he says, Mike, when I die, I want you to have my funeral. What happened? And my wife dies, I want you to have her funeral. Just easy a little bit. Huh? Okay, you know. And he reminded me of that every time he seen me. Every time he seen me, he said, and the time came when he got old. I went out of my way to travel to him to visit with him. Brothers and sisters, the importance of conversion. Christ commands it. The apostles did. Samuel Frelick did. And let's not depart from it. And if you want to have a beautiful fellowship where everybody gets along with each other, only one person needs to convert in that fellowship. Make sure that that one person is converted. That's how simple it is. Just me. And if everybody says me, you've got a converted fellowship. Don't have to worry about where you go to. Have you ever read an ad in the paper, we're looking for an engineer, but one of the requirements is that he has a temper? A nurse? No. Patience. No temper is needed. Nowhere. You can't use it anywhere. Gentile, Jews. Imagine the Apostle Paul, how many times he was beaten, left for dead, because he preached the Jews and the Gentiles in Jesus Christ are one. What we have is precious. A precious faith and a precious fellowship. Let me give you another example. Drove 10 hours to go to a church to settle problems. I said to a brother in Mansfield, why don't you go with me? It's a long drive. Got to go back to work Monday morning. 10-hour driving. Got problems to settle. And it was already, I heard from other members, situation was tense. The elders are coming. I was really there by myself. I always ask to be rotated. I don't want to stay with the same people, always in a different place. Well, I was assigned at this time, I let that up to the local congregation, to a certain widow's sister. Between her and her son, they had the rest of the membership upside down always. When I got there, the next morning, we got there late on Friday night, got there Saturday morning. The mother and daughter just had an argument as I got out of bed. The daughter went, and she was a member, and mother was a member, went to a flea market. And there were leaves to rake, knee-deep, a big yard. And now you're going to the flea market, and these leaves are here, and what are you going to do about it? She says, I'm going to the flea market. With this, they parted. I said, now, what are we going to do? to the brother that was with me from Mansfield. I said, I don't know, you're the elder, wherever you need to go, I'll stay around here. It's okay. Right now, I couldn't see any greater need than to rake leaves. I asked for a rake. Oh, no, you're not going to do that. I says, yeah. How long? Well, I don't know. We'll rake leaves. And the man that came with me and myself, we raked leaves till it was time to go to church in the evening. I was supposed to go out and settle problems, but nobody came, nobody said anything, so I just raked leaves. You want to hear the end of the story, and I'll make it short. There were no problems in church anymore. That sister went to her... Several elders have tried in vain before and couldn't do anything. It only got worse. If you ever go in that direction and you'd like to visit, I'll send you to that widow sister. She's still alive. Because every time somebody comes from that former church that I used to be in, says, give Mike Baumer my greetings. I'll never forget the leaves he raked for me. That's being converted. Now, not too long ago, Florina and I went someplace for an evening away, a day away from home. And then also to get some church history, because I needed it for this class that we're having in Mansfield. Went into this certain place and I told them on the outside as I came in, they watched me as I walked up to the counter, that I'm here for some instructions in church history and I'm from the Apostolic Christian Church. Fine. Filled in everything and I went in and we started out. As we were going down, this dear instructor kept right on going, and I had a question, so I raised my hand. And the instructor said, what is it? And I asked the instructor to give me a little clarification on this part in history of this church. And, oh, that instructor flew off the handle. And before the instructor said anything to me, suggested to me that I study my history more thoroughly before I come here. Well, you know, really, I did study history, but I wanted a little more, and that's what I was there for. We went on down further. And it was mostly church history, but you cannot separate church history from other events. Came down further the line, and again, I got a poke. I didn't ask anything. I was just sitting there with Florina. And that the Apostolic Christian Church is sort of a young church, and we cannot compare ourselves with the others. And it's okay. I knew that. And goes on, tells me about men of Simon's and Jacob Ammon and all the others down here in Ohio, the first white settlement by Schoenbrunn, if you were there, the Moravian brothers, and that's what I wanted to hear going through it. And we're going through one after another one, and the next poke came and said, you apostolic Christians are hard to get along with. Nobody can work with you. You think you're the only ones. Did I say anything here that we're the only ones going to heaven? I'll ask again. Did I, since the last time I asked? No. Okay, thank you. And we're often being accused, but I've never heard a brother say we're the only ones. But I will say there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one, and only contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. All the others will fall by the wayside. That's what the scripture says. And I didn't say, why do you feel like we are hard to get along with? or where have I? Because you just open up a can of worms, you get bombarded. And besides that, it came to me, well, you know, if that's what you're trying to do, mister, you're not getting through to me. I'm a converted man. And then it finally came out and says, you know, the Bible only says, still, I haven't said anything. We're just going through history. And you just throw that one back in. The Bible only says conversion 3 or 4 times. It really isn't necessary to convert. And you insist, unless a man is converted, they're not part of your fellowship. I was ready to say amen. But I didn't, because there was the fruit of the Spirit. The last one is temperance. And temperance is self-control. Let the Spirit be in charge. You know, once I was accused by someone of cause, ask if they would do certain things, would I cause them problems in the church? I says, brother, how long have you known me? Well, he didn't want to answer. Well, I says, let me help you out. I say, if you and I have known each other for at least 25 years, have you ever come across me where I argued with someone, where I didn't get along with somebody, where I threw the book down and walked outside? He didn't answer that question. You know, I hope and pray it will never happen. A converted person is a new creature, and are you really saved without conversion? I'll leave that up to you. Peter said, Christ said, unless a man is converted, becomes like a little child, no kingdom. That's the key to the kingdom, repentance and conversion. Is it possible that the old man sometimes will want to raise up its head in your life, in my life? Yes. Yes. On a daily basis, we need to ask the Lord for grace, not to let that old man come to the forefront. Will you agree with me that we have a precious faith and a precious fellowship? Is it worth it to convert? Is it worth it to put a belt on when it isn't really necessary? Is it worth it to rake leaves? The answer is yes. Yes, it's worth it. You know how often you hear, now you tell me if I'm going to go to heaven or not go to heaven when this and this is done or this isn't done. Well, the first thing you have showed off by saying it that quick and getting red in the face, you still have a temper, don't you? But you've got background to justify it, haven't you? Well, that's just the way the Germans are. No, they're not. There are no Germans in the church. Are there Swiss? Are there Americans? You know, let me just close with an example. And as you young people, I was told many of you don't know me. I was not born in this country. I was 18 when I came to this country. I was 15 when I escaped from concentration camp. I stayed in Austria for 3 years and 8 months. And then I came over here. In Yugoslavia, which doesn't exist anymore now, you had German people, Hungarian people, Slovak people, Romanian people, Serbian, what else? Help me out. Slovak, Czech, then you had Catholics, Lutherans, Mohammedans, you name it. None of them got along with each other. In fact, if you want to know how bad it is, NATO and the United States still have troops over there keeping these people apart. And as soon as everybody goes home, they're going to be back together again at each other's throat. I believe it's $1 billion a month to keep peace over there. Well, all of these people found their way into the Apostolic Christian Church. You have Mohammedans there, you have Germans, you have Hungarians, you have Serbians, you have Slovaks, White Russians, forgot one of them. They're all in there. Do you think they get along with each other? Yes. They converted. The last question the convert was asked, I was not in the church there, but my father was. He was a minister in the church over there. The last question he was asked is, who are these people that are assembled here in this room, in the congregation? They're God's people, the convert said back. You want to become one of them? Yes. Do you love them all? Yes. What nationality do you are? What language do you speak? In German. Now, you love the Hungarians the same as you do the Germans, or are the Germans a little closer to you? You better answer that real quick. You better answer that real quick and say, they're God's children, all of them. And now, even the ones that, you know, come from the hated Mohammedans or the Serbians? Yes, answer it real quick. Because if not, you are going to wait another year before they give you another opportunity to come before the church. The next question was, would you be willing, since you're German, lay your life down for a Romanian? You better say yes, real quick. And it wasn't just a matter of answering the right question. They made sure you were converted before you came, so you would answer that question. And that last question quite often was used. There was times when brothers laid their lives down for another brother. I know of that. That's a fellowship. Let's keep our fellowship precious and intact. And it's real easy to do. We may not get along with fellowshipping with other people, what we should in all other things, but not fellowship. Fellowshipping is real close together. I asked a question in Mansfield if there were any mechanics there. And I knew there was one brother there. And I said, brother, is it okay if you take an engine apart, I bring an engine in there, and you overhaul that engine, and you say, it's okay, it's in good shape, it's got a quarter inch clearance between the crankshaft and the push rod. How's that sound? Oh, now, bud, come on. Don't be that legalistic. A quarter of an inch only? I bargained with him. I says, what about an eighth of an inch? He still goes, no. What do you got to have when it's that close? Smoothness, doesn't it? All the rough spots have to go. Because it goes like this. And that's where the power is. The closer the fit, the longer it will wear, and the more work we'll accomplish. And the fellowship that we have, that's how we accomplish the work. Nobody is here, you got to do this, you got to do this. You get fired and you get a raise and you don't. This is a fellowship. We work together close. And everything that is rough, everything that doesn't belong into this fellowship, there's but one place for it. God can even use it. Bring it to the foot of the cross and leave it there. Nothing allowed on the other side. Anybody have any questions? I'm 5 minutes over time. Sorry about that. Did I confuse you? Did I leave you behind? Do I need to apologize for something? Thanks again for your patience, and thank you for being especially patient waiting for me to come over. You know, this is about the third or the fourth try. When Brother John called me, I said to Florina right away, put everything aside for that evening. We need to go to Redmond to the young group, because if not, they'll disown us. Thank you.